Too often it seems that when a compliant, helpful child hits the teen years, suddenly mom and dad become clueless in the child's eyes, and the child, attempting to grab the family reins, drives the wagon straight off the proverbial cliff. But why does this struggle exist, and can we resolve it before it's too late? For that matter, is there a time when it really is too late? We'll be looking for answers to these questions and more today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential program for troubled teens. Our host sitting across the table from me is Trace Embry, the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, I don't think I've ever asked you this. Have you ever driven a wagon off of a proverbial cliff?
Never, Rich. Not only was I the perfect child, but I was, I'm also the perfect parent.
Of course.
I've never told a lie, never sinned, which is why I get to run Shepherd's Hill and host Licensed to Parent.
Well, in that case, have you ever been in a wagon someone else is driving off of a proverbial cliff? And by the way, I'm not sure, but I think the proverbial cliffs may appear higher than real cliffs.
Well, at Shepherd's Hill, we have almost 50 proverbial wagons that sometimes head for those proverbial cliffs. And that's just our staff, Rich.
That's okay. Not including the many students.
I kid. All right. We actually have a cliff diving prevention team here at Shepherd's Hill.
That's excellent. I would actually imagine, in all seriousness, that a lot of the teens who do show up at Shepherd's Hill Academy are here because of similar struggles to the ones that I just described, but struggles that really were not dealt with properly.
No, that's absolutely true. You know, in today's world, because of postmodern thought, political correctness, the pace of life, and the influences of, you know, guys like Dr. Spock, Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew, Dr. Oz, Dr. Oprah, and the like, you know, the great physician and wonderful counselor, Dr. Jesus, you know, has been greatly marginalized and largely forgotten. I mean, you've heard me say this before. All we're doing here at Shepherd's Hill is cultivating the soil of these kids' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit has a place to take root and bear fruit in an authoritative community environment. And God, is what is steering our kids clear of those proverbial cliffs that you're talking about.
Right, absolutely. Well, today's guest has done her share of steering families away from the proverbial cliffs and helping to restore broken relationships between parents and their teens. Our guest's name is June Hunt, and many of you know her as the founder, the CEO, and the CSO. I love this title, by the way, Chief Servant Officer.
There you go.
Of the ministry Hope for the Heart. That's a ministry she founded back in 1986 to offer biblical hope and practical help through biblical counsel, coaching, and context for contemporary concerns. That sounds a lot like what we're trying to do here. That outreach, by the way, now touches more than 60 countries on 6 continents. June is also the author of numerous books, just a few of which are the devotional classic Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. Another is How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It, Keeping Your Cool When Your Anger is Hot, Hope for Your Heart. And the one that we'll be discussing today is called Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. In addition to writing, speaking, and singing, yes, she has also released 5 Christian recordings. June also manages to host 2, count them, 2 popular radio programs, Hope for the Heart and Hope in the Night, which is a live 2-hour call-in counseling program. And Trace, what she does in her spare time is a mystery to us all.
Well, I had a chance to meet this lady a few months ago in Texas and exchange some thoughts and ideas with her. And I can tell you that she has an unceasing and tireless dedication to her work toward helping people and advancing the kingdom of God. I can remember many nights working on my race car in the shop, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and hearing Hope Through the Night. And it was a comfort to me as I tinkered away. June, it was a pleasure to meet you at the Information Exchange, and it's an honor to have you on the Licensed to Parent broadcast today. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, Trace, it's great to be with you, and I sincerely, genuinely respect the way in which you equip young people to begin to have discipline and to understand the importance of them being boundaried, to develop skills that I don't think they would get with all the competition of what's going on. I'm talking about certain teens need exactly what you offer. So thank you so much, because that means all the parents are helped too.
Yeah, well, we certainly have a focus on our parents while their kids are here, getting them on the same page as well. But thank you very much for those kind words. You know, as Rich mentioned at the start of the program, a lot of parents are caught off guard, you know, when their formerly loving and compliant youngster, suddenly hits the teenage years and becomes that trying teen. Why do you think this parent-teen struggle exists in the first place?
Well, as a former youth director, I was right out of college, and I so saw this firsthand because there were 600 in the junior high division alone in at my church, and I accepted, and my pastor said, you are going to be our junior high director. Well, they come in seventh grade one way, and within a relatively short amount of time, they've come in as like lambs, and then now they're lions. Mm. And the dramatic change was so apparent because, first of all, God created within all of us a time of movement from dependency on parents, and that means not only just the bottle or being totally unable to do anything for ourselves. As time goes on, then there is an ability to be able to think, trial and error, consequences, they should be there for kids, but to help them learn. In other words, they need to have boundaries, and this is what conscientious parents need to be doing. Mm. Well, so that then in those, typically around the adolescent ages, the teenage years, now what they're doing is they're moving from parents' opinions to peers. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous. That's dangerous if the kids around them are not grounded, and many will not be. And so what becomes so important is, what do they think of me? What do the other kids? And all of a sudden, with this dramatic change of testosterone, all these physical changes that are taking place, there are a whole host of other changes, not just environment, but really the intent by God is for parents to prepare their kites for flight. Mm-hmm. I think of kids as they are created to soar. Now, it's understandable. If you have a newborn, you don't take that baby out and run with the baby.
Right.
But over time, you need to be able to give more and more string, if you will, like a kite, and don't hover over them. You literally give them more freedom with responsibility, so mm-hmm. that if the more responsible they are, the more freedom you give. But if they don't earn that freedom, then you withhold the freedom as a method, as an incentive to help them literally want to earn the right to have increased freedom. Because I don't know of one kid who doesn't want increased freedom.
Right, but the tender balance is not giving them too much rope that they'll hang themselves on it, and it's incumbent upon the parent to be discerning enough to know when their child is ready for that additional string that you're talking about, a rope.
Yes, and it means that the parents now must be wise. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is not the time that, you know, he's my best friend, she's my best friend.
Right.
Yes, parents want to be liked, they want to be loved, but there are going to be times when you have to say no to your child so that you can say yes to God.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes that parents make is they think that as long as Junior's smiling, things are going well. But, you know, there are a lot of happy drunks out there, a lot of happy derelicts out there, and they don't want to play the bad guy, and they end up pampering their children into imbecility. And I think the other issue that I wanted to bring up to you is the issue you had mentioned, adolescence. Adolescence is really only about a 100-year phenomenon for the most part, and now it's kind of stretched out, if you listen to President Obama, maybe as many as 15 years. And that gives us a 15-year window to really light some turmoil up in these kids' lives.
Well, there's a big sense of entitlement. I deserve this. Mm. I'm owed this because I exist and I'm this age, and you can't tell me what to do. You shouldn't tell me what to do. You don't have a right to come into my room. And it's like, well, wait a minute. If you, you know, this is a classic problem that parents have. What do you do if you are questioning, is there potential drug involvement? So now you say, oh, but you know, my son will be really angry. I mean, he'll get incensed. He could storm out. You know, who is the parent?
Right.
And the way I say it is,
and whose room is it really?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I have a niece who at one time was just pushing away, and actually there was a logical reason why, and I get that, but they wanted certain accountability, and so now in this case she wasn't even living at home; she was off at school, and she knew I would side with her. And I said, now, let me see. What they wanted was one time a week to really be able to talk, and she was totally resistant. And I said, now, let me see. Now, are you paying for your entire education by yourself?
Right.
No. Well, who's paying the room and board? And are you doing that totally independent? And I knew, of course, that was not the case. No, I said, so really, you are a dependent. You are dependent on them, and they have the right to be able to ask. This is reasonable. So and you know what? I could say this over here. They couldn't say it and be heard by her.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes it requires another outside person like you, Trace, to be able to say to a kid who is totally rebellious against the parent that you could be heard because you've earned the respect. Now, it should be that they do it anyway, but this is the huge role that you have in the lives of both parents and teens, because parents often need to be retrained themselves.
Yeah, well, the name of our program is Licensed to Parent. The idea is to put license back in the hands of parents who think, I think they think the state is supposed to run, you know, run the show and to be their kids' mentors. And we have a responsibility before God to be stewards over these children that God has given us. Could you respond to that?
There is no biblical mandate for the state doing what the parents should be doing.
Thank you.
I think probably the big problem is most parents don't know how.
Yeah.
They didn't experience it in their homes. So therefore, what they're afraid of, they don't want to wear the black hat.
Right.
That's what I call it. Yeah. They don't want to wear the black hat. They don't want to be the villain. Mm-hmm. They want to be the hero.
Right.
And so, in truth, no mom wants to be maligned. No dad wants to be disrespected and all demonized. And so, therefore, the parents become permissive. Well, okay. The problem with that is kids know they're not supposed to be able to get away with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And yet, if parents do give in when they shouldn't, number one, kids will disrespect your appropriate rules. Number two, they'll dismiss their need for self-discipline. And number three, they'll disregard your role as the parent and your right to parent them. So it backfires on permissive parents.
Right.
And so that's why it's vital to explain what boundaries are. But the thing is, a lot of people think, oh, well, but I don't know how to teach my kids boundaries. Listen, kids already know.
That's right.
That if you, for example, if it's football, if you're the receiver, you're running and then you step out with the ball, one step, and then you step back in bounds, are you allowed to continue on?
No.
No, you cannot continue. The play stops. So everything stops. It's like a penalty. The ball carrier who doesn't step outside the boundary line, is permitted to run and as far as possible, maybe even to make the touchdown. That's the reward. The repercussion, there are two R's, repercussions, rewards, repercussions, rewards. So just know that when you explain, here's a boundary, I want you, son, I want you to have as much freedom as possible. And so as long as you stay in the boundary, great, I'm going to give you increased freedom. But if you choose to violate the boundary, there's going to be a repercussion. Mm. And that means less freedom. And I don't want that. So I'm on your side. I want you more and more to become self-disciplined. And that's the goal of boundaries. It's not just to say don't cross the line. It's to teach them self-discipline so that one day when they live independently of you, they will be able to thrive and literally be successful in their lives.
Yeah. We're talking with June Hunt today on Licensed to Parent. June, as I mentioned earlier, is the founder, CEO, and CSO of Hope for the Heart. She's also the author of the book we're discussing today, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries, published by Crossway. You'll find that book on her website, incidentally, at hopefortheheart.org. More conversation with our host, Trace Embry, and our special guest, June Hunt, when Licensed to Parent continues.
One of the programs offered by Shepherd's Hill Academy to help troubled teens involves horses. The Equine-Assisted Psychotherapy Program, or EAP, is a therapeutic approach to enhance behavioral, relational, emotional, and spiritual growth. Teens in the program grow in problem-solving skills, anger management, personal responsibility, and more, all while learning safe and natural horsemanship. It's been 18 years since the program began, and with all that wear and tear, the horse arena needs improvements. Help enhance our students' experience at Shepherd's Hill, as well as others who utilize the arena, by donating to the EAP in one of three ways. Purchase a Shepherd's Hill t-shirt, donate your old car, or make a financial gift. All donations are tax deductible and help us continue to provide hope and healing for families in crisis. To learn more and to make a donation, visit LicensedToParent.org and click on the fundraiser banner, LicensedToParent.org.
It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta in Martin, Georgia. I'm Rich Rosel, and our guest once again is June Hunt. She's author of the book Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. And June, we've talked about the benefits of boundaries and the importance of them, but I'm wondering if we could go through and maybe look at some real life boundaries that you talk about in the book, and how do these scenarios play out in real life?
I remember I was sitting next to a student on a plane, and I turned to this young man. I said, did you ever have a boundary set where your parents said you shouldn't do this, and when you actually did do what they told you not to do, that there was an actual repercussion? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, would you share it with me? He said, well, I had a curfew at midnight, I kind of moseyed in about 2 o'clock in the morning. Both my parents were up, and they let me know that I would not have access to the car for 2 weeks, that I was going to have to get transportation to school, and after extracurricular activities, find a way home too. They were not going to pick me up. And I said, how did you feel about that? And he said, well, I thought it was unreasonable, and yet I had no choice. And I said, did you think that they were being exceedingly harsh on you? He said, well, that's what all kids think. But in truth, what happened was, then I went to Texas A&M in the fall, and he said, I learned to watch my watch like a hawk. And he said, I now see that it's one of the best things that happened, because I really am very time conscious now, whereas I wasn't mm-hmm. before. I said, how do you feel about your parents now? He said, oh, I think they're great. They are great. And see, what I love about this story is, here's a guy who had parents who were willing to wear the black hat.
Right.
You know, like in the Westerns, there sure. was a black hat and a white hat. The white hat guy was always the hero. Black hat, always the villain. They were willing to look like the villains. But then at the end, what this guy said, oh, they're great.
Yep.
He beamed, and because he knew that his parents were right, and they did what they did because it would train him to not make the mistakes when he was out on his own.
Mm. You know, I've told my kids, my daughter was my strong will one. She runs the girls program here now, but I've told her in years gone by, I love you too much to care what you think about me right now. Now, there's the dishes, get after it, you know. And now I get these notes on my car steering wheel, on the chair in my office.
Oh.
Dad, you know, there was a time I thought I might have hated you, but, you know, thanks for not letting me do this. Thank you for making me do that. And I'll tell you what, it's just a great thing. But it goes back to what you said. If parents are okay with wearing that black hat for a little while, in the long run, they will be their kid's best friend. And you know, you hear so much about relationships. Josh McDowell's famous for his quote, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. I think it's spot on, but not all relationships are healthy. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the end has to be in mind. The end is to train them mm-hmm. to become independent, whole, healthy, making wise decisions. So they've got to see you make wise decisions. For example, I was leading this thing for the parents of teens, and here we had all these parents, and this one woman said, well, I have a 17-year-old son, and the principal called from the school and said that my son was continually disrupting class. And so when my son came home, I asked him, how did things go today? Okay. And I said, anything unusual happened? Nope. You know, just kind of low, mm-hmm. low-keyed everything. Well, you know, I received a call from the school today, and I understood that you were disrupting class. And so, you know, son, I do know that there are times when you are with me or we are present together, and you're not disruptive, so it dawned on me, you must need me to go to school. What? No, you can't go to school. Oh, honey, you know, I love you dearly, and so because I care about you, I've already made plans. The school knows I will be there, and I will be going from class to class with you. Mom, you can't do that. Son, I've already canceled all my clients. By the way, she was a lawyer. I've canceled all my clients, and I'm going to be with you because I just believe that if I am present, that you can choose then not to be disruptive. Mommy, really, son, no more discussion. I'm going to do it no matter what. Now, the next day, sure enough, they go to class after class after class. Mm. And you can imagine this big 17-year-old having mom at his side everywhere he goes.
I love it.
At the end of her describing this, I said, tell me, did you ever have a call from the school again? She smiled, paused, and said, not a peep.
that's wonderful.
And what you have to evaluate is, what is the repercussion that will make my son, my daughter, really want to change? And by the way, if you have a son who just loves to be in his room and loves all the games and everything that's in the room, the repercussion shouldn't be sending him to the room to be by himself when then he has all the toys and
his own private video arcade. Yeah.
Now you can send him to the room, but you remove everything from the room too, and let him know how long it's going to be before he has the technology privileges again.
June, if Trace and I are disruptive on the program for the next few weeks, are you going to come back and be with us every week for a while? Well, there's a lot more material we could cover.
You know, I think you guys need a whole lot of help. I can tell. I mean, you're in heap big trouble.
We've been told that.
Yeah, we'll be glad to accept it, too.
Our motto is, we're all here because we're not all there.
and, you know, kids need to see that you can laugh, that you have fun, that everything isn't dour and sour.
Absolutely.
One of the strong things is learn to play with your kids.
Look for
their uniqueness. Look at what you can compliment them for. You know, catch them doing good and let them know that you saw it and mention it specifically for the others to hear. Share it when they're listening and you're complimenting a quality, a character quality that they have. It's amazing the difference that makes.
Yeah, that is good. Well, we got to have you back soon. There's so much more we want to go over. Would you be willing to do this again sometime?
I'd be honored to. Thank you.
Excellent. June Hunt is our guest today. She's the founder, CEO, and as we said, CSO, the Chief Servant Officer of Hope for the Heart Ministry in Plano, Texas. June is also the author of many books and studies, including the one that we discussed today, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries, published by Crossway. You'll find the book on her website at hopefortheheart.org. You can also connect with June on her Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/June.Hunt.Hope. Licensed to Parent, meanwhile, is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential program for troubled teens. It's our desire through this program to equip moms and dads to be the parents that God intends them to be. And if we do our job well here on the radio, well, we might succeed in working ourselves out of a job at Shepherd's Hill. That would be the best thing yet. We are a nonprofit 501c3 ministry, and we do rely on your prayers and your faithful support. And as we near the end of this calendar year, would you please prayerfully consider if God might be leading you to join us in this ministry by supporting the work of Shepherd's Hill Academy and this broadcast? You can donate safely and securely online when you visit us at licensedtoparent.org and click on the donate button at the top of the page. Your tax-deductible gift in any amount will go a long way, and we would love to thank you in advance. Again, just go to licensedtoparent.org and click on the donate button at the top of the page. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next week to renew your license to parent.
And remember, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless. We'll see you next time.